Welcome to the Busy Pastor Podcast. If you're interested in leadership and ministry coaching, go to busypastor.org/coaching. Join the Busy Pastor community today by going to busypastor.org, filling out the form, and you will receive more free resources, starting with our Fab Five resource, helping you determine the five things only you can do. Episode 33 of the Busy Pastor Podcast. I am Greg Gibson here with my co-host, Pastor Trent Stewart, lead pastor at Foothills Church. And today, we're doing something a little bit different. We have another co-host. I'm going to call you co-host. We have Pastor Heath Bennett here. Heath, what is your title here at Foothills?
Pastor of Development.
Pastor of Development. And that means what?
That means I oversee really the spiritual development of all aspects of the church. Work with Next Gen as well as through adults and small groups and even our community engagement.
Yeah, and so we're excited to have you on today to really dial in on small group ingredients and a little bit of a conversation around the weeds of small groups. Mm-hmm. And so Pastor Trent and I talked about small groups last episode, why relational discipleship, what do our small groups look like? But give us an insight into the overall kind of nature of our small groups here. How many do we have? How many small group leaders, you know, do we have currently right now at FC?
Yeah, we currently have right at 53 currently as we're getting launching Bearden.
53 small groups.
53 small groups. And 53 small groups currently and just under 600 that are involved. Groups are still open, so we're expecting to add a little bit more along the way. Bearden is beginning to open up, so we're expecting even more to add. We have just over 100 small group leaders that work together. We have married couple small groups that work together. We have some men's small groups, women's small groups, so a wide variety of groups that meet every week.
Yeah, and when you say Bearden, the folks listening may not know this, but we're launching a new location in, really, by the time this releases, we will have launched that location.
We'll have launched it.
And yep. So several new groups are launching in that area of Knoxville.
Yeah, and so talk about a normal rhythm of kind of a small group at Foothills Church.
Yeah, normal rhythm of a small group. They meet weekly in homes. They don't meet at the church. They meet in homes. Many of our groups meet on Sunday afternoon or Sunday night, but we also have many. My group in particular meets during the week. We meet on a Wednesday night, and so they meet for approximately an hour and a half to 2 hours, and we take sermon-based content. Where Pastor Trent or whoever might be preaching that Sunday, we take that sermon and we build out sermon-based content around that. And so the rhythm is people meet together. We wholeheartedly believe in a relational environment. So we want people to connect relationally. We want them to feel like that they are in community together. And then as they build out those relationships and trust is earned over time, that they're able to have great conversations about now what do we take from what we've learned in the sermon and how do we apply this to our lives and how do we impact our community and our world at large with the gospel.
Yeah, Pastor Trent, why do we do sermon-based small groups here at Foothills Church?
Well, we've just found over the years that, you know, we put so much time into the sermon and into the Sunday morning experience. And, you know, we come in and we talk about, you know, if we're preaching through a book of the Bible, we talk about chapter one of, you know, the gospel of Matthew, whatever. And then, boom, they go home and now they're talking about something completely different. And so it's like, why don't we kind of synergize and kind of get on the same path here and dive deeper? You know, let's talk about this chapter on Sunday morning, preach it. And then let's unpack it together as a church in small groups so we can dive in deeper and ask questions. And what did he mean when he said this? And here's how I took this. You know, maybe we should, you know, let's dive into it a little bit more. So it just, I think, just adds a second layer of growth there to talk about the same passage.
Yeah, and it allows people to be accountable, right? These are our people who are partners, who are in small groups, and you know, with the use of technology and media today.
So it's when you show up for a small group to talk about the, you know, the sermon this morning or last week and you weren't there, it's kind of like, oh
man,
fill me in there. Yeah. So it is a layer of accountability.
Catch the podcast and we're getting everybody on the same page, moving forward in the same direction.
Yeah. Right.
On the same mission. So,
he mentioned Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. I mean, they can meet any night of the week, but why do you think people kind of congregate on those particular nights?
You know, I think a high percentage of our groups meet on Sunday night for a couple of reasons. I think the sermon-based content keeps it fresh. And I think just the convenience of their time of with the leader, if they travel during the week, maybe with business, that just lends itself to being, hey, Sunday night, we meet Sunday morning, heard the sermon, let's kind of meet that night and let's discuss, process it, dig deeper and to know what we can do. We have chosen during the week and other groups have chosen during the week just because maybe certain people that are in the group, it ends up being a better night for them to meet.
Life stage, whatever.
Absolutely. Maybe it's just kids and their sports, whatever's going on in their life that they can choose and select with the night that fits best. And then our groups join based on that night. So they already know what night they're signing up for when they join.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're in a church culture too. I mean, it's Sundays and Wednesdays are very kind of normal church nights, you know, in our area.
Yeah.
And so when you're leading a small group or you're coaching small group leaders, training small group leaders, what do you want them to do at small group? So basically, why don't you walk us through when you're cleaning your house and you're getting it ready to when they leave and it's a mess.
Right.
Like what does the small group actually look like?
Right. Yeah. Well, one thing that we actually just had a training with our new small group leaders, and we encourage them to share the load as much as they can, so it doesn't all weigh on them.
That's right.
It gives responsibility amongst for everyone when they arrive. We certain small groups actually rotate homes, which is great for host homes. Some of them have a host home, so they all have a little bit of a unique flavor to them based on the stage of life, if they have childcare or not childcare. So the rhythm usually is within that hour and a half to 2 hours. It's a time where everyone arrives. Sometimes I encourage them. Food's a big deal for me personally, so I usually encourage everyone. Even if it's just light appetizer or something, everyone can congregate around that. Everyone can catch up on the week, see what's going on, laugh together, enjoy their time together. And then there's a specific time where we kind of begin to dig in. We say, all right, let's all gather together. And then we begin to walk through the questions that we provide. We actually call it a guide as opposed to just questions you have to go through, because we trust and hopefully we've prepared and equipped our small group leaders to take that guide and navigate it and make a few adjustments as necessary, especially if something arises in the conversation. Yeah. We want to be very conversational, not directional teaching. Mm-hmm. Some have come in and they've actually wanted it to be, hey, I was a Sunday school teacher. Mm-hmm. We've actually kind of had to encourage them in many ways to be like, you know, we want you you are the leader of the group, but we want you to prompt great questions and to help have conversations where people are learning from each other and you are helping guide that conversation. And then a time at the end, for us at least, we have a time of prayer, and we have someone who we've personally assigned to take prayer requests, distribute them during the week, so it's not just a one prayer time. And then that's kind of ends our time together, but the rhythm of small group, we encourage them to stay connected at all times during the week. We actually have a group me with our group, and we encourage a lot of people to do a texting group, have a group me where you're engaged with one another during the week, even social outings. A lot of groups they'll have their time together, but they build in social outings. We just went through axes the other night with our small group, and it was a blast. We're laughing together. We're enjoying time together.
It's the relationship.
And that opens up even more transparency and vulnerability in our small group time.
Yeah, you mentioned, so you've got somebody who's doing prayer, right?
Yep.
And then you're maybe moving homes, which is huge, because if the same person uses their home every week, some people love it, but it can also be a grind, and it can be hard on that family, and so that's good. What are some other, like, hey, you're going to be over this? How are they sharing the load?
Yeah, well, we also encourage every semester, our small groups are engaged in some type of community engagement, some type of service to the community, community outreach. We encourage them to maybe assign a person that could oversee that, a person that could oversee the food aspect. If someone's hosting, don't feel like you have to host, clean, and bring. Someone else arrives with the food for the night.
Host, clean, and bring.
Yeah. And so small group leaders, in fact, many of them, when I've met with them over time and I've said, so they're tired, they're exhausted, and I'm like, so what's going on? Talk to me about your personal leadership rhythm. They were owning everything. They were hosting, they were leading the discussion, they were communicating with everyone, they were planning the outings, they were planning this, they were doing this, and it became a grind because many of them are already serving in other areas in the church, and they're leading their adult small group as well. So I'm like, man, you begin to share the load. Now you can focus on what you do best. And now there's actually more buy-in from every person in the group.
So we actually ask people to partner together.
Correct.
Instead of just one person running the show.
Absolutely.
You know, as hard as it is for some churches, you know, they have a pastor that is running everything. you know. And the reason is because people are inclined to, if you want to do it all, we'll come and sit and watch you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And the same is true in small groups. Like, hey, if you do it all, hey, that's great. I don't have to do it. I'll show up and sit here, eat your food, sit in your nice chair, and then I'll go home. And that's just not, I think, a healthy way to lead groups. So I think all of these shared responsibilities are important.
Yeah. And so on the big picture of rhythms, Heath, so we're meeting January to when?
We begin we have something online process, which we call our Group Connect season. And it's online where people are able to select their groups. Then we launch new groups through group launch. That usually happens at the end of January.
Okay.
Then they begin and they go through about middle of May, right before the end of the school year. Many of these leaders in small groups are, you know, they have kids, they have families. And so we go, that's our, kind of our spring semester. Then they break for the summer.
Right.
But we even though they take a break, we still encourage them to stay engaged almost every month, have some sort of a social outing, some sort of gathering where you can get together. Some of them have had some service projects that they've done during the summer. They start back in the fall, and then they go through the holidays.
And why do they break in the summer?
They break in the summer because, well, one, everybody just disperses and you have vacations and all that goes on. The rhythm of meeting becomes very difficult because, you know, the challenge around that. And we want to give them a little bit of a break,
you
know, from a leadership
breath.
Standpoint. I mean, the leaders, we're like, hey, take a few months, you know, get some wind in your sails, enjoy that time. Even when you gather together, there's not a grind because we love each other. We're in relationship and you get together and just have fun.
Some more relational stuff in the summer, not necessarily, hey, teach this. You've got to be at this house and at this time. It's just more organic.
Yes.
So I think one question too that I have is, okay, what about children? Like, what do you do with childcare, right? That's always an issue with small groups.
Yep. We do have some groups that are that offer childcare. In fact, we if the home allows and there's a basement, if there's a room, then we've encouraged them to provide that childcare. In fact, when they register for a group, it'll say childcare provided. We have had some that have said, hey, I wasn't able to identify that group. And so we do what we can to say, hey, we will help supplement the babysitter for you in a way if that's a necessary thing. And so what we want to do is just, we want to take that off the table for them as much as we possibly can.
And when you say supplement, we're actually paying for child care for small groups.
Is that important to us that we're willing to make that?
Yeah, that's a big that's a big commitment. And I know some guys listening, you know, may not want to make that kind of financial commitment. But if we want people to actually meet in groups, then it's important that we take that financial step to be able to say, hey, this is how much we're committed to it. We'll make sure that there's a babysitter there that can take care of your kids. Now, you know, we have some groups who they pay for it themselves, or they have, you know, teenagers in the group that can watch the kids, and so they can do that. But if a group needs it, we'll do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So who writes the small group curriculum here at FC? Is it Pastor Trent? Are you writing it with your sermon? Or are you guys doing it together? What does that look like?
Well, we usually get this sermon a few days ahead from Pastor Trent. He'll pass it on, or whoever might be preaching that Sunday. We try to get it earlier in the week, and we kind of have the outline, and we begin to build the questions around that. So Pastor Taylor, who's our group's pastor, and myself, we kind of been kind of tag teaming on that over the last year. And so we'd love to build that out even more amongst our team. So we have people on the team who are writing that, but not in a vacuum of, oh, here's the passage and we're going to write it. We really want it to flow and the conversation to flow, because you could take, you know, John chapter 4, and you could take, Ephesians 6 or whatever, and you could go 1,000 different directions on any of those, but we want to make sure that it works in conjunction with the sermon. So we'll get the sermon outline, and then we write that, and we try to distribute that to the leaders by Thursday, and we give them a heads up that we're going to get this to you by Thursday, so you can be ready, you can be prepared. If you want to do a little bit more digging, sometimes we've actually given them some recommendations on some resources, videos, reading ahead of time, so they can prepare you for that.
So my rhythm to kind of help them is, so I'll write on Tuesday, and then today's Wednesday, and I just sent Pastor Taylor the message for this Sunday, and I would tell, you know, pastors listening, it's not my final sermon. Like, I'm still working on it, you know, this afternoon. I'll work on it Thursday afternoon, you know, even Saturday night as I go over it again, I'll be tweaking it. But the general passage, the outline, this week, you know, it was a blessing. most of it is finished. And so he has a lot to work with. But, you know, some weeks are busy, and so they have to be flexible. Sometimes that might not happen until Wednesday, you know, late, or maybe even Thursday. And so, but that's just kind of the ebb and flow of working together and being, you know, flexible.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot on this podcast about the intentionality of planning ahead, having a plan, not only for your discipleship process, but even for your preaching calendar.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, so even though you're writing on Tuesday, small group questions are being most of the time developed the next day. I just got a Google Doc from you for all of 2022's sermon series, right?
Yeah.
And so we're well prepared.
And the easier times to write that curriculum is when we're going through a book of the Bible, which we do frequently. So when we're going through 1 Corinthians and we have the date and you know the chapter, they can run ahead and they can do most of it. And then after they get my message, then they might just massage it a little bit to kind of make it flow. But that's super helpful as well.
And it's another great, just to chime into that, it's another reason why we encourage the small group leaders, this is your guide, because we encourage them, even in their training, we let them know, hey, we want you to make sure that you are listening, that you're taking your own personal notes from the sermon, because you may have, and they may pick up on something that was said that we didn't include in the questions, and they can be like, hey, so Pastor Trent mentioned this Sunday.
Yeah.
And we want to give them a little bit of flexibility to kind of build off of that.
Well, and I've seen our small group leaders too, like when we went through the book of Ephesians not long ago, and I saw many of them with commentaries, you know, that they were carrying around and many of them bought. So that helps them even dive in further in their own personal study, which we all know when you're leading a group, when you're preaching a message, you're the one that learns the most, you know, as you're teaching this, because you've done so much study. And so that's great for our leaders.
Do our small group leaders ever have the freedom to do something different?
We don't necessarily encourage that because we want everyone to stay together. We do have certain seasons, though, where we have said, hey, we're going to take a break from sermon-based content, and we utilize Right Now Media, we utilize some other sources, and what we do is we give them during that time, say, hey, here's some recommended time. We usually try to give a pretty expansive opportunity to listen.
We'll give
to
them
that.
Options.
Okay.
And then they can choose from those options in that season, and that would be a season where I might be preaching a series on resources or financial, you know, topics, giving, that kind of stuff. And so that would be a good time to say, hey, if you guys want to focus on marriage, if you want to focus on whatever issues, you know, your group tends to deal with or have needs with, that's a good opportunity for them to kind of choose that. And I think that's good, because if I'm talking, you know, on being a financial steward on Sunday morning, coming back that night, we kind of feel like, you know, people, you know, that's just one of those topics where, hey, we hit it Sunday, you're good. Now, you know, you guys can hit this one in your group this week.
Yeah, no, that's good. Can our people join small groups at any point? And what does that look like? So we're launching at the end of January, finishing in May. What if someone comes in, you know, April 1 and they want to join a small group? What does that look like in the life of our church?
It's not always the best conversation you can have, because you can say, hey, you belong here. We want you to be in groups. We want you to experience, you know, a relational connection with others, be in a relational environment. But our groups each semester, there's a closing date that we do have for them. There's an onboarding in a certain season, and we have a little bit of a grace period. But once that group begins, because of the conversations you're having, the relational aspects, the relational change that you're getting in your pocket, and you are beginning to engage in that, and there's trust that's built, injecting a brand new person into that can kind of upset that. It can push pause on all that. So what we've built in is, in the middle of each semester, we have what we call small group experience. And that is a 3-week, we don't want to necessarily, it's a course, but it's a time where they do meet here at the church. They actually get to experience a small group setting, but we kind of build the content around, hey, the significance of relational environments, of small groups, biblically, why do we do this? What's it about? And then the people that complete that time, those 3 weeks, they kind of get first dibs, we like to say, on the next opportunity to join a group a few months following.
And some of those actually turn into groups.
Yes, so absolutely.
You might have this small group experience. After those 3 weeks, you're immediately starting a group with them. If we have a leader ready, they immediately jump into that. But they're also doing the sermon-based curriculum. So it's a little bit of here's why we do it, and then it's also like, we're also diving into actual tough questions and whatever the scripture is to help them grow. But we've seen a lot of positive things out of that small group experience, the short term. And it is here on campus, and yes, we do childcare to make sure that they don't have, you know, all those reasons that sometimes prevent people.
Yeah, it's the best of both worlds in so many ways. It like you said, it allows those small groups to continue to grow and to flourish, and it helps people develop quick relationships to get in those turbo groups or the small group experience.
Right. Turbo groups, as
we call it.
Ah, what is a turbo group?
It's a small group experience that Pastor Heath just mentioned. Didn't we used to call them turbo groups?
We call them turbo groups because, you know, if you're a young church especially, mm-hmm. like, and you need groups fast, like, you can, for us, you know, there's base camp, there's camp two, and then there's camp three. So there's a process of learning that could take months.
Right, to become a small group leader.
To become a small group leader. Then there's the small group leader, you know, trainings and those kinds of things. And so that, and also what our guideline was, in order to be a small group leader, you have to be a co-leader for at least 6 months.
Right.
So you have to be in a group to actually do that. Well, in the early days, like, you're dying. Like, you need group leaders. You have to start groups. And if your church, you know, starts to grow really quickly, sometimes, you know, you might take somebody who you feel comfortable with and say, bro, I know you haven't been through the material. You know, our guideline is being a group and yada, 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 but we need you to go.
Yeah.
go. Yeah. And then we'll coach and
we're gathering people. Yeah.
So that'd be a turbo group, something that you would start fast that kind of goes against what your process, but that, you got to be flexible.
Right.
And you don't necessarily want to do that often. Right. But sometimes you just kind of have to keep the ball rolling.
Okay, this has been an incredible conversation on small groups as we've been talking about the rhythms of our small groups. So, Pastor Heath, thank you so much for joining. We're going to continue this conversation because we want to get into the ground rules of what our small groups actually look like. And so join us next week as we continue this great conversation on developing small group leaders, training small group leaders to be busy with the right things. Thank you for listening to the Busy Pastor Podcast. As we close today's episode, we want to invite you to do a few things. Join the Busy Pastor community today by going to busypastor.org and filling out the form. You'll receive more free resources, starting with our Fab 5 resource, helping you determine the 5 things only you can do. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Busy Pastor. If you like today's episode, subscribe to the Busy Pastor and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. For more resources, join the Busy Pastor community by going to busypastor.org. The Busy Pastor podcast is produced by Andrew Lindstrom, video production Jake Tipton, audio engineer Brian Papik, music by Brandon Sharp, and graphics by Zach Shaddix. See you next week. Until then, let's be busy with the right things.